1982. Dame Kiri te Kanawa is deze week te gast bij het Internationaal Vocalistenconcours in Den Bosch in de rol van juryvoorzitter. Dat doet ze inmiddels al een paar jaar. Afgelopen dinsdag waren de halve finales, morgen is de finale en Radio 4 is daar live bij. En we hebben haar aan de telefoon vanuit Den Bosch. Good afternoon, Dame Kiri. Great
Good
show.
Afternoon.
Thank you so much for joining us.
I don't understand your lovely Dutch, but it sounded very nice.
Well, give it up. It's a sort of throat disease, so stick to English. How are you doing? It must be quite exhausting not only to hear and judge the singers, but giving masterclasses on the side as well.
Well, exhausting, I'm not so sure. I'm a little tired today, I must say. We've had a few late nights, but that's what you do, and we're quite used to that. That's not a problem. But it's a joy. It's a joy to hear the singers, and especially if there's something really lovely coming through.
And now that you encounter so many young, hopefully blossoming talents all over the world, how do you gauge the level of singing or the quality or maybe even the aesthetics of singing nowadays compared to half
a
generation
the
ago?
Big thing, they do stand out. It is quite obvious that they do stand out. The only trouble is my heart goes out to the ones who I really fear aren't even going to make it. That's my big dilemma, because how do you say to someone, you've got to have plan B? And if they know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. they know that plan A is not going to work.
Yeah. And is there a difference in the sheer sound or aesthetic of voices now compared to when you began in the 1960s and 70s?
Yes, the voices are still there. They unfortunately, in some of the areas and where they're teaching, they do make them shout a lot or really force too much. Some singers, if they're really wise and they take good advice, they don't do that. But then those singers that will go through, the ones who shout and push too hard will not go through. So it's very hard to tell young people.
It's exactly what I mean. Because when I listen to your voice here in 1982, it's the sheer velvety of the tone. It is smooth. It is the beauty of the voice itself. And now you hear and you encounter so many young voices with a projection of the voice itself to cover a whole big concert hall or a theater.
Yes. Well, it's a very big. It is a dilemma, and we just hope that when I'm doing a masterclass tonight, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to give some good advice to some of the singers here. But it is very difficult when you can see that a singer's obviously not going to do anything, and I find that very hard because they're looking at you, they're listening, but they're not taking it in.
You are investing a lot in young talent. You have your own Kiri te Kanawa Foundation. Ambitions of the foundation?
The ambitions of the foundation is to find an exceptional singer. We've found several very, very good ones, and we hope that they will develop. We've got some lovely two singers, Louise Alder in Frankfurt and Bianca Richards. And we have one of my own singers, Philip Rhodes, who will be singing in Carmen. He's the baritone in Carmen next year at Covent Garden. We've got Icelandic baritone. I have another baritone who's just done very well in Canada and England in competition. So the singers that we're supporting are all over the world, and we're hoping they're going to do very well. But it's early days just yet. They just don't. It's not an overnight thing, as you can imagine.
So you coach them along the way?
I do. I don't teach them. I mentor them. I coach them. They come to the house and spend a whole day with me or a weekend, and I take two or three singers and we discuss things and how they will go forward and competitions and all the things that they need to know and to be aware. One of my singers has got through to a very important competition, and I said, right now, the one thing you've got to do is start looking after your health. And it's not about anything else. And then you start singing lessons when you come back, and I give him a whole sort of regime of what he has to do in order to enter the competition and be healthy.
So it's not about the technicalities of singing itself. It's about other things.
The technicalities you hope are in place. Yeah. The music is in place. It's all in their brain. They know what to do. But the next thing is, how do they stay healthy and avoid everything? And I said, most of all, there's no social. Do not go out. Do not do parties. Lock yourself away. If you start getting a cold on the plane, make sure you've got the medication when you get off the plane, and you can start looking after yourself. There's so much to take in for these poor young people.
Is it as hard, or for that matter, as easy, or as possible or impossible to start a career nowadays than in the early 1960s?
For start, it's incredibly expensive. And I heard today that the Guildhall School of Music for an overseas student cost approximately £23,000. And they have to do maybe 2 years. And then, of course, they've got to live, so that could be up to another £10,000 or £12,000 just to live. singing lessons, things like that. So being difficult, they've first of all got to find the money, and they normally have a great amount of talent, but unfortunately they have no bank account, and then they start thinking, well, how am I going to have this singing career if I don't have a bank account? So
exactly.
All these things are, you know, you need to put these things in place, and before they all leave from New Zealand, we have them basically export ready. They do classes out there for a year, so they know what's going to happen when they get to England, and hopefully they've got enough finance to support them for at least 1 or 2 years. But it is very expensive.
Yeah, and it wasn't that expensive when you started your career at the time.
Oh, yes, it was just as expensive, but it was a different area, and I had no scholarship. I earned all the money, and then, of course, in a very short time, I was at Covent Garden, which is, just doesn't happen today. You go into a young people's program, but you don't go into major roles like I did at Covent Garden.
Yeah, it's a joy to have you in Holland again.
Thank you. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It's lovely being down here in Helsingborg. It's such a friendly town.
Do enjoy it and make it a habit.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Dame Kiri,
thank
you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Zij heeft een carrière die in het begin van de jaren 60 begon en zo lang geduurd heeft tot 2003, 2004. En je hoort het aan de opname die we laten horen, dat het zo belangrijk is om op je stem te passen en op die klank en op die gezondheid van die stem, de conditie. En inderdaad kom je tegenwoordig jonge zangers tegen die te hard zingen, te luid zingen en een zaal willen veroveren. Ja, die gaan het toch niet redden. En degene die het sowieso niet gaan redden, het is zo moeilijk om hen te vertellen. Heb je een plan B? Hoe vertel je dat? Hoe benader je dat? En je hoopt dat ze het allemaal gaan redden. Maar, en het was toen ook al een probleem en nu een probleem, het is zo duur en helemaal vanuit de blik van waar zij vandaan komt, Nieuw-Zeeland, om dan daar klaargestoomd te worden voor een internationale carrière of school te gaan naar bijvoorbeeld Guildhall in Londen. Meer dan 20.000 pond alleen op lesgeld en dan nog eten en drinken en wonen. Het is bijna niet te doen. Maar ja, goed, het verschil bij mij was, zegt ze, ik ben meteen vanuit ik heb meteen een sprong gemaakt naar een grote zaal, naar Covent Garden, en dat kom je eigenlijk bijna niet meer tegen. Nou ja, goed, dat is dan in alle bescheidenheid zoals het daar gegaan is. Als een raket ging zij vanaf het begin van de jaren 60 en heeft een geweldig grote carrière gehad. Voorzitter van de jury, en ze geniet van de stad Den Bosch en van Nederland. Hou er zo, zou ik zeggen.